Lovely cushion header. Pajero!
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 102 of the LFC Podcasting Couch. Apologies for taking a month's hiatus from this account, but we thought we'd try, you know, go have a bit of fun, speak to some new friends at the LFC Day Trippers. So we've been doing a bit of work for them, and that's going to continue for a while. We just thought we'd do a bit of, you know, get back to the old ad hoc pods that we do over here with our good friends. And just, you know, chat football, basically. So you're going to hear us on both accounts, but this one is primarily ours. Keep it, you know, our flavor that you're all used to. And you're probably going to hear a lot of, you know, little pods here and there and everywhere. So keep tuning in, keep subscribing, keep telling your friends about this. We're just going to reboot it and keep it going as strong as ever. So since we are back after a month of being on the road, moving couches between houses, I thought I'd bring on some old friends. So, Mr. Matthew Lyon, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I'm here, Nish.
Woohoo! Happy days. Welcome back. And Nadzi, just making sure you're still on the line as well. Are you there?
I am indeed, Paul.
Happy days. Okay, so if you guys don't follow these two lovely gentlemen on Twitter, Matty Lyon is at Matty Lyon. Can't really get that wrong. And Nadzi is a bit more complicated, at N3_LFC. Two brilliant gentlemen, both go to pretty much every single game, and yeah. Have you been to every game so far this year, guys, or have you been missing out on a couple?
I went to Palace and Arsenal. Those are the two games I've seen so far. And
decent.
I went to the Hertha Berlin friendly before the season started.
Jesus, that's one. you've got some good things going then. What great game. So that's 3-0 against Hertha Berlin. That was a win against Crystal Palace. Was it 2-1? Was it
2-1? Palace was 1-0. We just 1-0. Managed to scrape a victory with Mane pouncing on an error by the...
Yep.
It was a pretty grim game to watch, actually.
I actually really enjoyed that game. I don't know. I seem to enjoy the scrappy, crappy games. I enjoy them for some weird reason. And then, Arsenal.
Give me beat 4-0 any day.
Yeah. Hey, can you move yourself just quietly? Try and get yourself closer to your microphone. It's just a little bit tough to hear you at this point in time.
That better?
Yeah. Let's get you nice and loud so we don't have any hearing issues. And Nadzi, where have you been so far, my friend?
I've been in the great yonder. I was at the Palace game. Arsenal, I was due to go to, but I just had some family emergency. You know, my mother wasn't well, so I kind of part going to that. But I'll be going to pretty much most home games this season, and the odd away, primarily in the Midlands. And I might make a venture down to London to see a couple of home games there. But
nice.
So all good. But I agree. I like the scrappy 1-0s as well, as long as you win.
Yeah.
As long as you win, that's the main thing. So all good.
Yeah, Twitter is a little bit more enjoyable after a win like that too. So, the fume.
Twitter enjoyable? Come on.
What? That's impossible. And you're Birmingham, aren't you? Or where in UK are you located?
I'm Birmingham. I'm from the Midlands, indeed.
Awesome. So making your way up to Liverpool. Good to see for most home games. And that's awesome, guys. It's always nice to have yourself. And now Rich is another regular. He's part of the couch team. But Matty Lyon's been on quite a lot before. So if you follow us for a while, these are our friendly regular faces and voices. And if you don't know me, I'm Nish. I'm the guy who runs this little thing. So keep a lookout as well. Our other two favorites were the guys on the couch who have their own jerseys. Peter Kafinas, he is a professional coach, youth coach here of football in Sydney. And then there's also George Xanthus, who is a professional actor and lifelong Liverpool fan. So if you're new to this, you'll hear them very regularly, as well as you guys. So just a quick plug, what this pod is all about. It is community-based, as you'll see. It is about giving, I started this primarily 102 podcasts ago, to give people like me, who are on the other side of the world, who know very few people in the UK, but just want to talk football, give us a voice. So if you want to be on this couch and be on this podcast, we're reaching around 5,000. Well, when last month when we stopped it, we were reaching around 5,000 listens a week. So if you want to have a voice and share your opinion on Liverpool, because it's going to be one hell of a season, just send me a message on @podcastingcouch on Twitter or search LFC Podcasting Couch on Facebook. Send us a message. We'll get you on here. So let's kick it off. Boys, I want to get a simple out of 10 rating of this transfer window. We'll start with Matty Lyon. Out of 10, how would you rate this window and why?
I give it a 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Reasons being that I think we've made some good purchases. The squad has definitely been strengthened from what it was last season. Solanke looks like an incredible steal from Chelsea. He looks sharp, already looks far more accomplished than, say, Origi, which is probably why he's been sent out on loan. I can see Solanke playing an important part this season, coming off the bench and really adding a different dimension to our attack. He looks so accomplished, considering his age as well and his relative lack of experience. So I was thrilled with how well he's started off. Obviously, Salah, an amazing addition as well, has incredible pace, skillful on the ball, can score already off to a great start. And he's also showed a lot of skill as well, a lot of skills that I didn't expect him to have, scoring headers in pre-season and just generally looking very, very skillful on the ball. So, yeah, those guys were great. Obviously, Oxlade-Chamberlain has come in as well. I wasn't as excited about that signing. It was a lot of money for a player who has all too often been injured for Arsenal. I hope that what Klopp sees in him is another player that he can improve and develop to another level. I could definitely see him coming on like Lallana has and basically stepping up to be a key player for us. So I was really pleased about those additions. Obviously, your favourite, Andy Bob, and Robertson at left back.
Yeah.
We've needed a proper left back for a while, and although Milner did well last year, we definitely needed someone whose priority was that position and has performed well there. He's done really well in all the games I've seen so far. He looks good going forward, good defensively, and he's really good at crossing the ball too. Mm-hmm. And he even scored on international duty, so hopefully he'll chip in with a few goals for us too. So it's all very positive on those aspects, especially on the attacking front. My main issue with the transfer window is that I said while it was open that the only reason I'd be disappointed with the business that we do is if the problems that we have and that we obviously have aren't addressed during the window. And unfortunately, I think that has proven to be the case. We obviously need another quality centre-back. I actually think Matip's excellent, and I think Lovren can be. He just needs to find that consistency. Though Lovren was excellent against Arsenal. He was providing killer interceptions and smashing the ball away and played great. But they showed both of them last season that they're prone to injury, and if one of them or both of them are out, then we really are drastically exposed at the back. We don't have the caliber of replacements to come in and stand in for them. I think Gomez looks really good. He played really well against Arsenal, and perhaps he could fill in at centre back. But we really needed someone to come in, and it's mind-boggling to me that we identified Van Dijk, made a mess of it early in the window. And it was very early in the window that we came out and apologised and said we were ending our interest in the player. So why we didn't then go out and get an alternative just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
And my second disappointment, which was pretty much expected, but has already been shown to be a problem this season, is the goalkeeper position. I know Mignolet has his fans and he performed well towards the end of last season, but he's shown over several years that he's not the quality that we need to be able to challenge for the title. And Karius was bought because Klopp obviously knew that Mignolet wasn't good enough. And unfortunately, Karius has also failed to perform last season and ended up being dropped. And now he's given a chance, weirdly, against Arsenal. And of the 11 players on the pitch against Arsenal, 10 were excellent. And then there was Karius. And he just looks uncomfortable. His judgment doesn't look good. He was giving away possession in dangerous areas. And there was just nothing about his performance against Arsenal that reassured me that he was the answer to our goalkeeping problems. I could see a position where we end up with Ward in goal, and I would actually, based on performances so far, be happier if that was the case. But again, the fact that we know we have a problem there and we haven't gone out and sorted it just seems really strange to me.
Yeah,
and so, yeah, that's why I go for the 7 out of 10.
Yeah, makes sense. It would have been 10 out of 10 if we got Van Dijk.
I'd given maybe a 9 then.
9. What would have made it a 10?
If we got a new keeper and a new centre-back and both of them were world class.
Cool. Love it. Cool. Nadzi.
Okay, so I tweeted about this and had a poll and alluded to a couple of points, and I mentioned that for me it's a 7 out of 10 as well, and I'd echo and agree with much of what Matty said, with a few exceptions, that with Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think that if any manager's going to unlock something in him, it's going to be Jurgen Klopp. I think he's the type of manager, and it's a proven fact, that if he sees a little tiny nugget, he's likely to unlock a gold mine. And I think in Oxlade-Chamberlain, you have someone there, not just in terms of versatility, and people say, oh, at 24, he's not that young. But the eagerness that he had and the eagerness that he proved to come to the club in taking a significant pay cut, in turning down Chelsea, you know, in coming to Liverpool and showing that not just in terms of, especially in this day and age whereby footballers have been accused of jumping on the money train and going to China and looking at lucrative contracts elsewhere, he kind of set the tone whereby his first port of call in terms of the action that he made was to show just how much he wanted to join a Liverpool Football Club. So that for me is a big bonus. So I think, you know, and Matty didn't, you know, Matty mentioned around the goalkeeping position. I like Karius, and the reason why I like him is because I watch a lot of Bundesliga. I saw the ability that he had, which earmarked him as the second best goalkeeper in the Bundesliga prior to him joining Liverpool. I think Jurgen's clearly, you know, identified him as someone that he sees as his number one, but, you know, he's been unfairly judged on a number of games last season, and there wasn't that many that he played. I think coming in against Arsenal, okay, wasn't exactly a decision you'd think, okay, why is he playing? But then they didn't have a shot on target, so he had nothing to do. Okay, he made a few ricks with regards to possession. That can easily be addressed. That can easily be rectified, and there's something that he can work on. I think where fans will get on his back and start kind of riling him and start having a go at him is not going to do him any benefit. I think Mignolet, as Matty alluded to, and I wholeheartedly agree, he's had a number of seasons to prove as to why he should be Liverpool's number one. The back end of last season, he had a number of games in which he, you know, he played well. And in fact, he actually gained us some points as opposed to losing some points, which he was kind of accused of doing in past seasons, which was also quite true. So I think that position is a concern only if Karius doesn't prove Klopp correct. And Klopp has a record, certainly in the transfer market, second to none. So he doesn't pick many sort of turkeys out and say, well, so-and-so. There's probably a handful, if that. With regards to, you know, it being a 7 out of 10, and the way I think it would have been a 10 out of 10 would have been if he would have got Van Dijk. I tweeted about it a number of times around certain alternatives that I would have gone for, as Matty mentioned, around the statement early in the window saying that we weren't interested in Van Dijk, or we were ending our interest in him, that we could have gone for the likes of Manolas or Koulibaly or De Vrij or Jonathan Tah or a number of others that are better than Lovren, and okay, may not be as good as Van Dijk, but I just think in the short term now, and maybe Klopp has thought about this too, and others have also mentioned it, that he sees maybe Gomez as someone that could come in, and yes, he's not fully up to speed, and yes, he's had a number of injuries, but he's also someone that at 20 years of age, people were raving about before he even signed for Liverpool. So he clearly has something in him that can mean that he can unlock that potential as well.
Yeah.
In terms of Naby Keita, I don't need to go on about Naby Keita too much. I think I more than anyone who sheds from the rooftops how much I love the guy. In terms of ability and everything else that he has, I think he's the perfect number 8. I think a 10 out of 10 window would have been for Van Dijk to have come in and for Keita to sign now, But the fact that he's signing next year is actually not a negative. It's actually quite a positive thing that we've acted, we've got the deal done. He's going to be joining Touchwood next summer. That's staving off any interest from all the big boys, because trust me, he's going to have another stellar season. You know, he'll be playing in the Champions League as well, which means his level will probably rise even further. And I just think in terms of that position that we wanted, people saying, well, why hasn't someone taken the Gerrard number 8 shirt? It's not about being scared to wear the number 8. It's also being having the ability to actually wear it and have the confidence to do that shirt proud. Forget the number. It's all about the badge on the front. And I think the number is irrelevant. But the fact that he wants the number 8 just makes me like him even more. He's thinking, well, no one has stepped up to take it, so I'm going to have it. Yeah. And I think he'll do great for us.
That's awesome. And there's so many things to take out the transfer window that we can take as massive positives, which is why I'm really glad you both pointed them all out. So all the doom and gloom people are there crying about, you know, all the things that have gone wrong. But this is why I love you two guys. You two are amazing, because you're always looking at the positives and what can happen this season. So I'm going to ask you to rate now, based on what we've seen so far this season and, you know, having Oxlade-Chamberlain come in, I guess, where do you now see us ending up, let's say by Christmas this year, because it's a very tough run leading up to Christmas. Where do you see us in the Champions League and the Premier League? Let's go to Maddie first.
We were fortunate with the draw for the group stage of the Champions League.
Yeah.
I'd be very disappointed if we don't emerge from the group and emerge on top of that group. So confident that we've got the talent to progress through to the knockout stages. So I'm very hopeful about the Champions League. And I think a lot of the teams in the Champions League will find it very difficult to play against Klopp's heavy metal style of football. And they won't be used to the kind of full-on pressing game that we play so well. They'll also struggle. I think any team will struggle against our fully fit attack. Yeah. Of Mane, Salah and Firmino. So, yeah, very positive about the Champions League. I think we will probably meet someone who's too good for us at the maybe the quarterfinal stage, or maybe the semi-final. I think the semi-final is probably the furthest we're likely to progress to, and that would be a really great achievement considering we haven't been in the competition for a while.
Yeah.
In terms of the league, were you saying the end of the season or Christmas?
Yeah.
Or?
Let's say Christmas for now. Where do you see us? Yeah.
We've had a decent start, and I think we're second in the table at the moment. By Christmas, I'd expect us to be somewhere in the top 4. Probably third or fourth at worst, I would hope.
Yeah.
The teams around us from last season have strengthened pretty well. If United keep Lukaku fit and he bangs them in like he was for Everton, then I think they will be the team to stop. City seem to be having a few problems gelling right at the moment, but they're still getting results. So they'll be up there as well. I'm quite confident that Tottenham and Arsenal won't have the seasons that they had last year, mainly because Tottenham haven't strengthened particularly well. They've made a few key signings, but they're still very heavily reliant on Harry Kane to score the goals. If anything happens to him, then I think they're in real trouble. And you can't underestimate as well how difficult it's going to be for them having Wembley as their home ground. It's not going to feel like home to them, no matter how many times they play there this season.
Yeah,
it's like playing away for them every game, and the atmosphere and the way of playing is going to be very different for them. And I think a lot of teams will be able to take advantage of that, playing at that ground. I think Spurs will struggle to have as good a season as they did last year. And I would hope that we'd be ahead of them. And when you look at the turmoil at Arsenal, I almost feel sorry for them. they're guaranteed to struggle this year, I think. And I'm convinced that unless Wenger can keep them in it until the January window and they do some great business then, I think they're really going to struggle. They're going to have a demoralized squad.
Yeah.
That's seen Chamberlain leave and has seen Sanchez desperately try to leave. And there just doesn't seem to be any belief there that they can turn things around, which is really weird because after the FA Cup final performance against Chelsea, it looked like all the players were playing for Wenger and were totally behind him. Yeah. And they seemed to make some good signings in the transfer window. Like, I thought Lacazette was a great signing for them. Gave them the proven goal scorer that they've been missing. But they just don't seem to be able to manage things internally so that they can keep all the best players happy and keep them going and get them signed to new deals. And as a result of that, it's going to be a long, hard season for Arsenal fans, I think.
Cool. That was a really long answer.
Sorry.
Woo! So where do you think they're going to end up at the end? So third or fourth, and we're qualifying for the knockout stage. Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, thanks. Nads?
I'd echo much of what Matty said in terms of I think we'll finish top of the group. I think he's right in saying, and something we've all agreed on, that we were quite fortunate in terms of how the draw panned out. And I think we'll get, and it's not an arrogance thing, it's more a case of me being confident in the Reds and saying that I think we'll have between, or certainly win, or I'd say 12 to 14 points in the group stages.
And
I think we'll finish top of the group. I think when it comes to the league, I think I also agree with some of what Matty said around us being third or fourth come Christmas. But with regard to feeling sorry for anyone else, I don't give a flying fuck about any of them. You know,
Nads. Yeah, I think some people that are close to you may be watching, listening to this pod later.
No one's close to me. But that's you know, and I'm not one to kind of overtly swear, but that's a case of, I just don't care in terms of what's going on with other clubs. I think they wouldn't feel sorry for us, so why should we have sympathy for them? You know, they've made their bed, so let them lie in it. I feel sorry when players are injured, and I don't wish to have or wish injuries on any team in terms of a player being injured and being out for a significant amount of time. But in terms of their plight and them saying that, oh, you know, they've done this and they've done this, well, that's for them to sort out. That's nothing to do with us. I think at the expense of Arsenal, if we finish top four, or we finish, you know, at least top four come the end of the season, no one's going to care anyway. So It doesn't really matter what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, I find it very hard to feel sorry for anybody whatsoever. But you did mention, Maddie, before, you did mention about the other team strengthening. What I do want to point out, is that probably the one that strengthened the most, seemingly, is probably Man United when it comes to getting players, but not getting so many players that they completely rebuilds their squad, like what you're saying Man City have done. But apart from that, you know, Tottenham haven't really strengthened. They brought in more defenders. It's like defense was never actually their problem. Having an attacker that can cover for Harry Kane was their problem. They haven't strengthened that area. Man United are one injury to Lukaku away from having Rashford as their starting striker. And the rest of the team is just the same squad that ended up sixth last season. Man City, you know, they're starting with Sterling and he's winning them annoyingly games, but they really weren't playing very well at all against Bournemouth. So for them to come away with that win in the 97th minute is just gut-wrenching. It must be horrible for everyone at Bournemouth. But then you see Chelsea have gone backwards dramatically, in my opinion. Even though they got Morata at the top there, who seems to be doing the business, annoyingly, because I never rated the guy. But their squad depth is hugely gone. They had, I think, four youngsters on their bench for the last game. So that was their biggest strength in the last few years, is their depth. Arsenal have completely gone down the shitter. So that's pretty much all. I mean, then we have Everton. Is there any point even talking about Everton at this point? So I'm not worried at all. I hope they all have horrible years, but I think over time, we will see us come out on top because we've got the players and the style and the manager and the drive and the preseason all behind us to really push on for something very special. So, Nads, did you say where we're going to be positioned in the league come December? Come, let's say, end of December.
I think come end of December we'll be at least top four, and I think even though Jurgen has obviously not done it before in terms of January winners, I think there's a case to be said that we may well get Van Dijk in January. And also, if RB Leipzig are out of the Champions League, there's also a chance we may even get Naby Keita in January early.
Yeah. I think I'm going to agree. I'm going to say we're actually going to be top two come the end of December. It's going to be it's going to be a really hard run, but I have huge amounts of faith in this squad, and I think we have done enough. And I can't remember who it was I was talking to. I think it was Peter Kafinas talking about in preseason how we're facing teams like Leicester, and these are the teams that we really need to face to help us fix our problems. And look, we went away and we won a scrappy 1-0 game against Palace. Actually, no, oh, wait, should I say, wait, it was at Anfield. We hadn't beaten Palace at Anfield in 3 years. So for them, they'd beaten us 3 years in a row or something. And if they'd beaten us for a fourth time, we'd be in a record that goes back X amount of hundreds of years, whatever it is. And they're the exact team, and they're the biggest bogey team against us. For us to beat them 1-0, and what I really enjoyed that 1-0, because I thought we dominated pretty well throughout the whole game, I think we really have put a huge amount of effort into beating those kinds of teams. And that's why I'm really excited. I think we will do very well. And we've got enough depth now to cover almost every area by two players. So that's my position on that. Who do you think is going to be challenging us the most this year? Looking at the table straight away, it's Man United. But who else do you think are going to come up there? Maddie Line?
Yeah, I just want to say from the off that I don't want to be painted as an Arsenal sympathizer. I did say I almost feel sorry for them. No, I don't really feel sorry for them.
So funny.
You guys, I hope they have a dreadful season and finish mid-table. But
that's the Maddie Line we know and love.
if only for the Arsenal fan TV meltdown that will no doubt follow it. Yeah, in terms of... Who will be challenging us? Yeah, I think Man United are the main contender, like you said. The only thing I would say about the lack of talent up front, if Lukaku gets an injury, is that they have re-signed Ibrahimovic now, and although he won't be fit for a while, I could see him playing an important part for them coming off the bench as the season draws to a close, and he will still get key goals for them. So I think it's good for them that they've retained him. And who else? I think City will come good. I know they've signed a lot of players, but obviously they've got one of the best managers in the world, and they've got a seemingly endless pool of resources to call on. So I can see them being strong, and that's about it. I don't see there being any surprises this year in terms of someone like Leicester pushing for the top four. I really don't see how anybody else has strengthened sufficiently or has the squad that can really push us for that top four position. Cool. So yeah, I think it's really going to be us, City, and Man United, and if we can stay relatively injury free, because obviously it's unrealistic to think we're not going to pick up injuries, but if we can keep the key pieces of the defense fit, then I'm really confident that we can keep pushing all the way.
Sweet, Nadzi, who's scaring you this year?
No one scares me, buddy.
Love it.
So I just think, you know, I agree with what Matty said around the two Manchester teams and I think Chelsea. I think those two, Chelsea and ourselves, will fight it out in no particular order for the top four, even come the end of the season. I think 5th, 6th, 7th will be between Tottenham, Arsenal and the blue shite across the way. I think they will kind of divvy it up between them. I think for me, a surprise package, and you've just alluded to it, and I really rate him, I really like him because of his background with Dortmund and his background with Klopp and them being best friends, is his old Danielson, you know, David Wagner.
Wagner.
To Mr. Miyagi, Jurgen Klopp. And I think that's going to be something that, you know, he's obviously a good coach. You know, he obviously coached Dortmund reserves or Dortmund 2, as they refer to him in the Bundesliga. You know, he was actually approached to be our head of the academy, which he turned down because he wanted to go to Huddersfield to take that position. So
wow.
I rate him just for that, in terms of wanting to kind of have that kind of schooling of thought. And then I think he's not using them as a stepping stone. He's using them as his learning background, akin to how Jurgen Klopp did at Mainz. So you can see where they mirror one another in terms of their ethos and their mentality.
Yeah.
And I can see Huddersfield finishing top 12, maybe even pushing for 11th.
I see them even going higher. I just believe in Wagner's ability. Everything that I see, because I see him a lot because of Aaron Mooy, Aussie Aaron Mooy. He's easily Australia's best player. And so I watched him quite a bit, and just they play with proper passion. And I think Klopp alluded to it last year. He said the difference between a championship squad and a Premier League squad is purely consistency. They all have the ability to play at Premier League level, but they can't keep it consistently. So the people that play consistently become proper Premier League squads. They seem to be developing what Klopp is doing to Liverpool, a style and an ethos and a method that you can rinse and repeat over and over again. So I'm hoping for the best for Huddersfield, because just like you, I have massively a soft spot for those guys, and they have an amazing Australian in the team.
And I think come January, if Ward doesn't get the minutes that he wants, I think there may be a case whereby he actually goes back to Huddersfield on loan for the remainder of the season in January, thus increasing their chance of even going further up the table. Because if he's not playing, with all certainty, Klopp's likely to help out Wagner and help out Huddersfield, because he doesn't want the keeper sitting, especially in World Cup year and Daniel Ward being part of the Wales squad. He doesn't want him sitting there doing nothing on the bench. It doesn't help him, and it doesn't help his aspirations to be Wales' number one either.
Yeah. Speaking of Wales internationals, Ben Woodburn. What a debut.
I don't need to say much. Jesus, I think his actions spoke louder than any words can even go to describe that. And, you know, it's perfect the way, and I like Chris Coleman. I like the fact that he just said, and he said to him, go out there, enjoy yourself, make it count for yourself, and that's all that matters. And I think Woodburn is the type of kid. And people said, well, you know, he's a local boy and everything else. And I just think it's not so much his age, it's his ability and the fact that his first touch.
Yeah.
And then he just pinged it, and I just, you know, I fell off my chair once yesterday. I nearly fell off it again. So, but you know, he's a special talent, and all credit to him. I hope that he has a good season and he gets some minutes under Klopp, and I think he'll go to the World Cup as that surprise factor, I think. You know, I hope Wales do qualify.
Yeah, same. It was funny because I was staying over with the wife at the wife's house last night, and I just woke up and all I saw was people like Rupa, and you guys probably know Rupa. She's all over Twitter, but she's from Wales as well. Rupa, I think Maddie Lyon, all these people on my WhatsApp just messaging, going, "Ben Woodburn's goal! Oh my god!" And so I was like, "I got to see this." So while it was about 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. in the morning, I just typed in Ben Woodburn and videos into Twitter, and I just went, head just exploded. How good was that goal? Maddie, I'm pretty sure it was you who messaged out there. What was your reaction to that goal?
Yeah, I think it's actually Nancy who deserves, or Richie deserves the credit for alerting me to that. But it's great. I mean, it's brilliant when players, especially players so young, get that experience at international level.
Yeah.
And to score a stunner like that is going to do wonders for his faith in his own ability, and also in the club's faith in him to become an integral part of the first team. So yeah, it's always puts a smile on your face when you see a young guy like that doing so well. So yeah, it was one of the positives to take from the usual frustration of having a break from the Premier League for the international break.
Yeah, it's just amazing. By the way, what's his name? Jurgen Klopp. Our boss. What's his name? That fella. What's his face? He's just come out. Well, Echo have just released an article saying Jurgen Klopp addresses Philip Coutinho for the first time. He goes, "Don't believe everything in the press, or that there are offers here, there, and that minute, and another offer that has been entered. It should already be over. We're not like George Orwell, where everybody knows everything immediately. We have exactly the situation we wanted and no other. Dortmund decided the player Dembele would leave them, so I cannot compare the two situations. We still have a really good player in the squad who can play." And then it goes on to saying, Coutinho is yet to feature, blah, 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 blah. So I'm pretty sure that he is open to having Coutinho back in the squad. Can I get both of your general feelings, starting with you, Maddie, on Coutinho itself? Will you welcome him back with open arms, or what's your feel on him?
No, I won't welcome him back with open arms at all. I think his behaviour is being disgraceful. It's understandable for any player's head to be turned by Barcelona, and I'm sure That's his dream move, and that's his dream club to play for. But there's a way of going about things. Handing in a transfer request the day before the season starts is disrespectful to Klopp, the club, and his teammates. It's a destabilizing thing to do and a massive distraction before we face our first game of the season. And was completely unnecessary and pointless because it wasn't going to happen. And it also was done mere hours after the club had stated categorically and unequivocally that he wouldn't be sold during this window. So the club has been clear all along that he wasn't going anywhere, that he wasn't for sale. And I've been really impressed by the stance that FSG have taken over this. We only paid, I think, about £8.5 million for Coutinho. So as a business, if you receive more than £100 million return on your investment, that's incredible business. And a lot of people would be very, very tempted to cash in on the player at this stage. But they took the view that he was integral to the team and that we need him for the coming campaign. And so they were forcing him to honour his contract. And they're perfectly entitled to do that. And if Coutinho didn't want to be held to that, then he could have negotiated a release clause in the new deal that he signed. Or he could have simply refused to sign the deal that was put in front of him and said that he wanted to leave and something could have been worked out. So the club has stood strong and has behaved perfectly, as far as I can see, throughout this whole saga, despite what seemed to be dirty tricks on Barcelona's part. They were moaning again, even on Twitter, about the amount of money that we were supposedly asking for Coutinho to go. But the club has come out and said that wasn't the case at all.
Can I ask you a quick question just on Coutinho himself? Because I know I think you've been building up this rant for a bit. But can I ask what Coutinho would have to do to win you back?
He'll never win me back. I'll be pleased if he puts in 100% and has a great season. And then he'll be doing his job. He'll just be fulfilling his contract and doing what he's supposed to do for the team. And obviously, I hope he makes a big difference to our season, because that'll mean he goes into the World Cup on good form. And, you know, who knows what will happen next summer. But as far as I'm concerned, he's disrespected the team, the club, and the fans with his behaviour. And don't forget as well that he supposedly had a back injury. And I was reading an article yesterday saying apparently as soon as he said he had a back injury, the club did a scan that showed that there was no evidence of such an injury, although they can't prove, obviously, 100% that he didn't have some sort of problem. But then there were quotes from the Brazil team doctor during the week saying that the back injury was brought on by stress over his desire to move. And that following a pep talk from the Brazil team doctor, he was fit again and able to play as he did for Brazil. It beggars belief. It's unbelievable.
It's tough.
This kind of behavior shouldn't be tolerated, and it shouldn't be accepted and brushed over and simply forgiven, and then the love fest for Coutinho continues. It should be remembered, and we should just not have a go at him now. Once he comes and he plays, then we should get behind him and get behind the rest of the team and appreciate what he does for the team. But I certainly won't be forgetting what he's done.
Yeah, fair enough. Nadzi, your opinion?
So I agree with most of what Ranty Line has just said.
He's been building that up for a bit, hasn't he?
I think the key point, and I mentioned this and I alluded to this, and it's been on my Twitter header from the very first header I've ever had, you know, going back to October 2015, that for me, it's always about the badge and not about the name. I think if you give 100% and he does so, then fine. If he's going to give anything less than 100%, then you know, I would have been happy to have got rid of him. We spoke about this months and months ago on another pod about, will Coutinho go? The answer was, yes, he'll go because that's his dream to go. Will he go this summer? We'd rather he went in two or three seasons, or if he went at the earliest next season after the World Cup, where he can build up this season, have a great World Cup. We get a very good fee. He gets his dream to go, and he's still only 26 years of age when he leaves the club. I think that's important in terms of that kind of viewpoint on that. I think had we got Thomas Lemar, I think Coutinho may have been sold. I think the fact that we didn't toughened our stance even further. I think we've done okay. We've done well in the league thus far. You know, we have 7 points out of nine. But we also need to remember he's our, one of our best players. He's not the best player at the club because I think he's been superseded by Sadio Mane. I think Mane in January was a bigger loss to us than Coutinho when he was out prior to that. I think he's a fantastic player. He's not world-class. The fee was a very, very good fee had we agreed to sell him. But the fact remains that we didn't have a replacement for him. We didn't get Lamar, so therefore, you know, he's coming back to Liverpool. Klopp will reintegrate him. He won't get a pass from the fans. Some fans will say, well, you know, we just need to forgive and forget and everything else. Well, you can forget. That's fine. You forget what happened. You can't forgive on the basis that he disrespected, as Matty alluded to, the club, the fans and everything else surrounding the club. So he has a lot of bridges to mend. But for me, I don't need an apology from him. I don't need him to open his mouth and say anything. I need him to put on those boots, cross that white line and do exactly what Suarez did. And that's let his actions speak louder than his words. And his actions can kind of get us to where we need to be with his goals and assists, and that's all I expect from him, to give 100%. If he's not willing to do that, then I'd rather he left in January as opposed to leaving next summer.
Yeah, definitely. Have you guys listened to the latest Darren Farley, Steven Gerrard gives his verdict on Philippe Coutinho?
Yeah, I've seen that. He's very funny.
He's hilarious, isn't he?
They're all superb.
That one in particular I love so much. He's just like, I'm looking for, I can't do his voice, but he's like, yeah, it's pretending to be Steven Gerrard going, yeah, we'll see how he feels when I ask him to give me a piggyback and run around Melwood five times. And then I'll get someone else to piggyback me who'll be piggybacking him, and then another one and piggybacking. You know, people call him the little magician. Well, I'm pretty good at making people disappear. I was like, quality Darren Farley. So if you follow him, watch that. And just have a bit of a giggle because it's all a bit fun. So happy days. Anyway, it's going to coming up to the end of this podcast because it's been flying by a lovely lake. So I was wondering if you had any last thoughts and shout outs to give to any particular people out there. Maddie Lyon, we'll start with you.
Yeah, we didn't quite get to it. But my last thought was just Emre Can being great so far this. Doing a great job for us, and particularly against Arsenal, I thought he was fantastic. And it's really worrying that he's still not signed a deal, and that there's rumours of a pre-contract being ready for him in January with Juventus. So it's worrying that we've allowed this position to get to this stage with him without him signing a new deal. I really hope he does sign a new deal, and that's my last point for the pod.
Yeah, cool.
Shout outs, Rich in North Vance on Twitter. Always good for a follow, and at Kerry Somewhere, of course, is always good for pictures around the world and views on LFC as well.
Nice one, Mr. Nadim.
Pretty much spot on in terms of what Matty said around not just his shout-outs, but also in terms of Emery. I think a lot can change between now and January. I think it's less about the monetary and more about the minutes and his actual role within the team. And I think if anyone's going to convince him to stay and anyone's going to convince him to re-sign, it's going to be over the next few months with Klopp and also how the team performs. So people are saying that Naby Keita's coming in as a direct replacement. He's not. I think Emre Can and Keita will be part of that central midfield next season if Emery decides to stay. But, you know, let's just focus on the football. We can't control the contract situation. We can't control who we sign or who we sell. We just need to do what we need to do best, and that's support our club.
Yeah, 100%. Cool. I'd like to give a shout out to everyone who's listening, especially Pete, George, especially all the day trippers, Steve-O, Andy, Jamie Holm, Jesus Christ, there's so many, Gareth Breen. Everybody on the Day Trippers world, thank you so much for having a listen and help promote this lovely little couch. And once again, please, if you want to get on the couch, give us a message, send it across. And thank you very much for listening. Episode 103 will happen whenever we could be asked to make it happen. So keep listening and keep sharing. So Maddie, Nads, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a real pleasure.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, Nash.
Thanks, guys, and have a very good day or night. Goodbye.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!